This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
1 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold, keeping an eye on the NCAA tournament action. We got the quad box full go. Four games. This is what it's all about right here. We'll get a scoreboard update on these games. One game is under 5 minutes to go. That's the Louisville-Creighton game. It's been all Creighton so far. I don't know if Louisville's got another run. Their head coach just got a technical foul, and they're already down 11. But we'll keep an eye on that. But I want to go out to Rhode Island. Providence, Rhode Island, someone that has covered the Jayhawks program for, I don't want to age our guests too much. I think last time we had him on, I did this and I almost got in trouble for a while. He's been covering the Hawks for a while. He knows his, you know what, Matt Tate covers KU for Wave the Weed, R1S1. He's in Providence. Matt, I understand you might be ordering some food right now. What's on the menu?
You got it, man. We're at Federal Hill. Their Italian spot, and all I've heard since I arrived is that Providence has some of the best Italian food in the country. That's from, you know, random people, but that was also John Calipari's take.
Okay.
He's fired up to be here, so he didn't tell me personally. He was talking about it in his presser. But you know, maybe I'll text him and find out if I went to the right spot and see if he wants to pick up the check, something like that.
You've been to numerous NCAA tournament games and covered this team. What would you – can you compare the vibe, I guess, whether it's from fans, whether it's from the program right now, knowing that they're a 7 seed for the first time under Bill Self?
Yeah, it's really weird. It doesn't feel any different here. I mean, I think part of it is expectations, right? Like, we're a long ways from home, man. Providence is way out here. And so I didn't expect there to be a ton of KU fans that traveled. I mean, I'm sure they'll be there, you know, their fair share. But it's not like Omaha or Wichita or one of those sites, right? So I other than that, I don't really feel a different vibe. Like, in fact, I've had to keep reminding myself that they're not business as usual, top three type of seed, because, you know, that's how they're carrying themselves. They certainly believe, you know, that they've got a run in them. They are acting pretty loose and free and having fun, and good for them, right? Like, because it's been a really rough year for a lot of reasons. And the one thing that would pretty much guarantee a first-round exit is if they came up here or wherever they were sent and had their heads down and were like, oh, we're a 7 seed. This sucks. We suck. You know, like, if that was their attitude, they'd lose for sure. But you don't feel that. You don't see that. And it surprised me a little bit because it has been so up and down and stuff, such a rough year. But, they're handling it the right way. And you know, they know this first matchup with Arkansas is a monster. In some ways, I think that may benefit them. You don't have to worry about the Bucknell-Bradley upset looming and embarrassment that comes with that. Like, if they lose tonight, to John Calipari in Arkansas, you know, nobody's going to be happy, but it's not like this one will go down as one of the biggest upsets in KU or NCAA tournament history, right? It's just like they lost to a good team. That happens. So for all those reasons, I spent a lot of time around them yesterday, and you just get the feeling that they're really loose and they're just ready to see what happens.
What about, I was going to say, on the fan end, Matt, like you mentioned the way the team feels. I feel like a lot of the Kansas fans I interact with are like apathetic on this season, almost wishing for it to be over.
There's a lot of
ways. Are you surprised that, I know it's like just like it's such a down year by comparison. They almost can't do it. But like, is that how it feels a little bit for you?
There's no doubt. And, you know, the way you have to differentiate that, and it's hard to do, especially for people like us that, you know, live in this world. That's the Twitter vibe, right? Like, that's what it is. That's if you go on there, everyone that you see is like, I want this team to be over. I hate Hunter. I hate DeJuan and KJ. I wish they would give in their KU card and never say they went to Kansas. I mean, like, they're over it. They're mad. They're angry. And, you know, I get it. Frustration as fans is what fans do best. But if you get outside of Twitter and if you see, you know, the people who are here, the people who showed up at Allen Fieldhouse every game, you know, they still believe in these guys. And they're still those types of KU fans that say, well, you know, they could make a run. And God love them for that because, number one, they can. Number two, anybody can. That's the beauty of March. The second game, if they get by tonight against St. John's, presumably, will be a monster. But, man, if they win that game somehow, all of a sudden you slide into that two seeds path and now you just beat Arkansas and you beat St. John's and then anything's possible. So I do think there's a small, it's what do they say? The vocal minority, right? Mm-hmm. The loud crowd that's on Twitter yelling about every single dribble and every single possession. Yeah. They want it to be done. And, you know, I just say, be careful what you wish for, because it's done doesn't mean next year's going to be any better. I think it will. I think the Darren Peterson thing's exciting. There's a lot to like. You can only expect that Bill Self will go into the portal and build a team that fits around Peterson and looks good and all that. There's some guys that have come back that are exciting, you know. So I get the looking ahead, but nothing's guaranteed. Not anymore, especially with NIL and with the portal. So, you know, to those fans, I would definitely say, like, just grab a beer, tune in, see what happens, put your KU blue on and root for your freaking team, man. It doesn't, like, everybody's a critic. Everybody's an analyst now, and it doesn't have to be that way. You could just get drunk and watch your team.
We're talking to Matt Tate from R1S1Sports.com. I noticed right there on the front page of R1S1, you have a story titled Where Zeke Mayo Got His Game. Thinking about where he's at a tournament in Kansas City and how confident he actually looked, and he was as good as anybody on the floor for this team. How crucial is he tonight against Arkansas?
Yeah, they got to have him. I mean, he's hit 5 threes, 3 games in a row. That's incredible, right? Like, that's all-time Kansas streak. I think the stat is that it's the first time since at least 96 that somebody's done that. And you're talking about all the great shooters that have come through there. The dude's a legit freaking stud, and they got to have him. I mean, he doesn't have to make five, I don't think, but he's got to knock in 3 of 6 or 4 of 8 or 4 of 9 or whatever it is. I mean, he's got to knock down shots and be that threat. So, and I think he's ready. I mean, like he's been to 2 tournaments before. This isn't totally new to him. And in a lot of ways, this is actually more comfortable to him than it is the rest of the team, because in the games he played in the tournament, he was an underdog and wasn't expected to do anything. And that's kind of the role that they're filling right now. I mean, they're not an underdog tonight, but they're an underdog big picture. And so I think Zeke's very comfortable. That was a fun story to do. It's worth your read. It takes a while because I write long. But I talked to 10 people who coached him all the way from 4th grade through South Dakota State, including Bill Self, for a quick comment, even though he's had him for a limited time. So really fun, man. I mean, he's a Lawrence kid. He went to Lawrence High School. I went to Lawrence High School. There's some of that in this story, too. Like, I'm just really, really proud of him and how he represents that city and my hometown and my school. And he's a great, great kid. And, you know, you feel for him because this idea of him coming to Kansas for his final year, it was on the path to what it was supposed to be. You know, preseason number one, the kid comes home, he gets to live out that dream. And in a lot of ways, it has been a dream for him, of course, and his family and the whole bit. But, you know, it's also been a nightmare, too. I mean, the social media stuff he's had to deal with, the ups and downs of the season, the losses. I mean, you know, it's certainly not quite the picture that anyone painted. But I tell you what, that family, those people that love Zeke, they're so thrilled he got the opportunity. And you know, as a writer, you like to write those stories. And I tell you, the coolest thing that happened yesterday when that story was released is I got a text from his mom that said it made her cry. And I got a text from the South Dakota State coach that said it made him cry. So I feel like I did my job.
That's awesome.
I think everyone universally agrees that Hunter Dickinson and Zeke Mayer are the two most important players in the game. Who's third? Like, who's the third most important player for this? They're running the tournament. Because I think first two are obvious. Is it KJ Adams because of how much Bill Self uses him? Like, who ends up being the guy that they also need, you know?
Yeah, I think it's DeJuan. I think he thinks that. I think DeJuan probably thinks he's one, actually. I spent a lot of time with him yesterday, and he said, it starts with me. I've got to get our team into what we need to get into. I've got to defend. I've got to take care of the ball. And that's what, you know, a point guard does. That's what a leader does. So he's very well aware of the fact that he it may be a, you know, Kansas goes as he goes sort of thing. But you're right. I mean, I agree with you. Like, Hunter and Zeke have to be 1-2. But I think, you know, DeJuan's probably, what would it be, 2A or something like that. I mean, he's right there, especially because he can set that tone on the defensive end. And look, these guys know it, man. I mean, it's easier said than done for sure, but they know that if they can defend, things change for them. And they've had a really hard time defending. I mean, we saw UCF and Arizona in the Big 12 tournament just drive right by their guys. I mean, they got layups at the rim. So, you know, that they've got their hands full because Arkansas is full of guards that can do that. And we saw that when they played that exhibition game way back when this season. So, you know, it's one thing to say, okay, it starts with defense. You know, you got to say that, sure, but you also have to do that. You have to back it up. And so I do think this team has enough offensively and enough variety in not just those five starters, but even a couple of guys off the bench. Like, you know, Flory can give you some offense, especially on the lobs that are athletic plays that play well against a team like Arkansas. Diggy Coit can come in and knock down a couple of threes, and you know, there's a lot of balance there offensively when things are clicking. But if they don't defend, it doesn't matter, especially because, as you mentioned, with Hunter being sort of the one, right? Like, so many, like, he may take 20 shots and you know, 17 of those or 18 of those are going to be twos. And in college basketball today, or any level of basketball, really, when you're trying to trade twos for threes, you lose. So they know that. And that's why, you know, the idea of defending has to be the number one thing. Because if you can defend, you can get stops, you can make the other team miserable. Then playing through Hunter and getting a bunch of twos from him, which he can score so many different ways and in such a variety of spots. And you know, his game's, I know people hate him, but his game is really good, and he's really a tough thing to stop for opponents. So if you can defend, the offense should be there.
Lastly, Matt, with all that said, then, do you believe the Jayhawks get it done tonight against Arkansas?
I think I picked against them in my bracket, but I did my bracket pretty quick on Sunday, and having been out here and been around them, I think they win tonight. I think they're the better team. I think they should win. And I think being around them, I think the vibe's good. I think they believe they should win, and that sets up a heck of a battle on Saturday that will be a much, much tougher challenge. Man, just walking out of the arena yesterday, I walked by St. John's as they were walking in, and I was like, wow, nobody's beating those guys. Nobody. So, you know, that's the eye test. The what did Vital used to call it? The airport team, right? Like, they look good. And obviously their record and what they do on the floor shows that they're good. What if they won 19 of 20 or something like that? I mean, they're red hot, and Patino's obviously great. But what a cool region, man. I'm so lucky to be here. You know, I really feel that way. I've done this a long time. You guys can say it, man. I'm 46. I've got a great beard. I'm not fooling anybody. I've been to a bunch of these, but man, a first round sight with Self and Calipari and Patino, like that's
yeah.
And then
Izzo
the
in that bracket too, right?
Can beater, right? Like, who's that?
I said Izzo's in that bracket too.
That's the four active coaches in the Hall of Fame, and you know, they're all in this tournament, and three of them are freaking within, you know, 6 miles of me right now. It's unbelievable. So yeah, it should be a lot of fun, and you know, whatever the matchups end up being, if it's you know, and look, like I said it, I think a minute ago, like the Omaha story is amazing. That the coach beating the trash can and doing all that locker room stuff, like they play St. John's, I wouldn't write them off. And what a story that would be if that continues and all of a sudden KU gets by Arkansas. And now they're, you know, the 7-15 game is all of a sudden what they've got standing between them and the second weekend. I mean, that's March, right? So I don't think St. John's is losing their first game, but I didn't think Duke was losing to Lehigh way back when either. You know, it happens. And I didn't think Missouri was losing to Norfolk State. It happens. So that's why I think everybody just has to, you know, fill out your bracket, get a case of beer, sit back, put your sweats on, whatever it is, man, and enjoy this stuff. Because, you know, whether your team wins or loses, it's the best time of the year for college basketball.
No question about that. Well, Matt, we appreciate you giving us some time, man, and enjoy the lunch. Enjoy the Italian food out there.
For sure. I'll let you know how it is. Thanks for having me. Always good to talk to you guys. Yeah, holler if you need anything.
There you go. That's Matt Tate. He covers the Kansas Jayhawks for Wave the Wheat. R1S1Sports.com does great work. And yeah, he's now I'm imagining on the KU beat, other than there's one other name I guess I can think of. Other than that, Matt Tate, probably the second longest guy.
Didn't Gary Bedore hang it up?
No, I think he's still. That was the one name I wasn't going to say.
That's the only other one.
I think other than that, he might be the longest on the beat. I could be off, but he's obviously enjoying his time covering the Jayhawks out there in Rhode Island and giving us some good perspective on where this team is at mentally and everything like that heading into it. But I think it's time for another scoreboard update as things are getting a little interesting with
multiple
games.
Part of me wants one of these sounds to be the basketball. give me the ball because I'm going to dunk it. All right. Louisville down to Creighton 81-69. There's only 2 minutes left to go in that game, so they're going to lose. That one's over. 9:29 left to go in Purdue versus High Point. Purdue with one of their larger leads of the game, 56-48, an 8-point lead at the moment. Houston and SIU has just gotten underway. 10 minutes to go left in that first half. It's already a bloodbath. It appears Houston up 24-8 on SIU Edwardsville. And then at halftime, Wisconsin versus Montana, 40-32. Wisconsin leads right now, Drew's Badgers. And for our bets perspective,
finally, maybe going to hit one.
John Tanjay's looking good.
Tanjay, I said I'd liked him to hit three threes. He got two in the first half. 2 for 2 from the three-point line in the first half. So for the second half of the game, will be sweating a single three.
We need it after the rough start.
The show. We're 0-2, so we show need
bets.
This one. Yeah.
The show bets have not gone well.
We could use
a
dub.
If you want official bets from the station and everything, be sure to check out our social media channel. Have some out there. Speck randomly came in to the studio during a break and shoved a camera in front of my face and asked me to give my final four picks. And I think he did that to a lot of people today.
He didn't care about my final four picks. You know?
I don't know what the video was for, but anyway, check our social media channels. I don't know what it's going to look like or anything like that.
Drew tried to explain himself to the boss and the boss shrugged him away.
Wow. Ooh, tourney coverage on 96.5 The Fan brought to you by Twin Peaks Eats, Drinks, Scenic Views.
Yes.
You know where Drew will be tonight?
On my couch at home.
Fantastic, as he would say.
Fantastic.
What's your food plan for tonight? Do you try to get food before the second slate starts?
Yeah, before the KU
game starts. It? How do you handle your food needs?
I'll have a early dinner or something is what I'll do. Yeah, I'll do an early dinner, and that way, because there's that little gap, you know what I mean? There's a little gap that you have there before, like, KU's playing at 6:10 tonight. Missouri's playing at, 6:35 or something like that. So I'll eat before those games, because otherwise, I won't eat during it. And if I wait till after, it's going to be 9:00 at night. So
why not just eat during it?
No, I want to watch. Oh, lock in. Lock in, Cody.
Lock in. You can't eat food.
I can have chips.
This guy, he's talking like he's a high level athlete. Can't be eating food and watch a sport.
I can have chips, but no, during KU and MU, I will be locked in, not stuffing my face. I'm watching the game.
These are unrelated things.
No.
Drew's with me on this one.
I'm with you because I do it for the Bengals. I get it.
You guys are nuts. If you're at the game, maybe. I'll give you a pass.
Even at the game. I'll eat at halftime or before.
I don't want to be eating during the game. At the game.
Same thing.
I can excuse the behavior. Same it's time. Not the same. You're in the comfort of your home.
I'm locked in.
At the game, it's definitely before the game starts.
We're locked in, man. By the way, yeah, Purdue only up 6 now. It's tied up a little. This is the tightest game we have right now in terms of time left in the game as well. So
only tightened what we've gotten today, really.
Yeah. Purdue 56, High Point 59 minutes to go. This is in the Midwest region for those keeping track. Thanks again to everybody that submitted and joined our Cody Engel Bracket Challenge. We upped our number by quite a bit from last year, so we appreciate everybody. And best of luck. We'll keep an eye on that. Next week, we're not going to give you any updates until next week, okay? We're not checking in tomorrow or anything.
This is a Sweet 16 situation.
Yeah, next week, next Monday or Tuesday, we'll check in. We'll shout out whoever's in first place from our listeners.
We'll joke about where the three of us stand.
If it gets really ugly, we also call out the bottom five.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So just a heads up. If you're a bottom five, you get shouted out on the show.
There were people in the bracket that chose Missouri to win the national championship.
Yeah, correct.
Kansas to win the national championship. Yeah. Who else? Were there other weird ones in there?
I'm guessing some Duke.
I'm sure there were, but there was a lot of Duke, Florida.
That's a pretty normal one.
There was one St. John's in there. I know Dusty took St. John's to win the whole thing.
He likes Patino.
Here in about a minute and a half, guys, I'm going to be crossing out not one, not two, not three, but four games down the line.
Drew had Louisville in the Elite Eight. Yeah, your bracket might be toast if you had Louisville in the Elite Eight, Drew.
Okay. If he gets six of the other Elite Eight, he's okay.
The bracket is not toast, but I will say part of the region is completely busted. I will say this. Creighton, again, they've shot their tails off in this game. I think it gives them confidence going in, having played a game maybe against an Auburn school that, look, tall, athletic. Ryan Kalkbrenner against Jani Broome is going to be a matchup that's fun to watch.
I guess your hope is now that Auburn obviously loses to Creighton as well. That way everybody potentially...
in the same boat.
Sure. Again, I honestly couldn't care less if after this because I lost. At this rate, it doesn't matter what happens. Go ahead, Creighton, and go ahead and win.
Yeah, sure, but like me and a lot of other people, we can talk about our Final Four stuff coming up in about 5 minutes, but... I have Auburn in the Final Four. So, if Creighton beats them, I'm also in the same boat you are, right?
Except
for one full round later than that. I don't know if Gold got him to the Final Four, but
who?
Auburn.
I do.
Your bracket would not be toast.
If Creighton shoots like this, they'll beat a lot of teams. I don't think they're going to shoot 55% from three in every game they play like they did against Louisville today.
Houston, of course, again, they're playing a 16 seed, but they did not mess around coming out of the game.
I'm glad we didn't bet that first half
Someone wanted us to do SIU.
What was the spread? Was it 10.5, you said?
16.5.
For the first half?
For the first half.
It was 16.5 for the first half?
Mm-hmm. So.
Shout out to SIU Edwardsville, though. It's the first time they've ever made the tournament.
Oh, that's cool.
So good for them.
One day I hope to say that about UMKC. I hope to watch UMKC get their teeth kicked in by 30 against Houston because at least it'll mean they're in the tournament, Drew. I hope that they get that, they're up 12 to 11 at the under 16 timeout. And you're like, you know what? Even if they lose by 30, doesn't that feel nice?
What I want.
Under 16, they got the lead.
If I were you, the year the UMKC makes it, you should hope that they play KU in the first round.
What?
Because I think that would be epic show content between the two of you guys.
I mean, it's going to be pretty one-sided in the most likely to win category.
Well, sure, but can you imagine if UMKC beat KU?
I mean, that would be an all-time moment.
Gold wouldn't hear the end of it forever.
No, I'd live in that moment for the rest of eternity. Yeah. But
I'm not worried about that.
But the odds of that taking
I'm not worried about that one.
UMKC would need to get to a 14 to even make that plausible, right?
Sorry for the KU fans for putting that out there.
Is there any team in the field where you're just I can't stand them. I hope they don't win one more in a game or two. I mean, there's obviously
some of the classic big boy schools that I'm not interested in.
I don't expect MU and KU fans to hope anybody wins there. But I'm taking them out of the equation. Just in general,
other than the normal ones, right? Like Duke, and I'm like, I don't need to see
Purdue's just boring as hell to me. So I don't. If Matt Painter loses again, fine with me. I'm not a big fan of that program.
I'm kind of impressed Matt Painter has been at Purdue as long.
Well,
he has had success.
Does he turn into Tom Izzo? I know that they just recently made a national title, but they did get beat by a 16. Where's the conversation around Matt Painter? Is he Tom Izzo? Is he?
He's Mark Few.
Mark Few. Yeah,
he took a program. I don't know how good that program will be after he leaves. They're always consistent and decent, but they'll have years where they borderline miss the tournament, and other years where they got Edie and are going to have one of the best teams in the country. He's a really good coach. I don't think his show would travel, right? I don't think you would just put Matt Painter at Kentucky and it just works the way it works at Purdue. I think he's got to kind of work at the school size that he's at, and that kind of works really well, and the system works really well for him. So
I don't know if there's a school that I can't stand other than, I would say, Marquette.
Marquette?
No.
What do you got against him? Is it Shaka or what?
No, I kind of liked him in the Buzz Williams
I actually really like Shaka Smart. I really like Buzz Williams. It's Milwaukee, Wisconsin against Madison, Wisconsin. Oh, it is. There are, like, you can say Minnesota and Wisconsin's a big deal, and it is, but and Wisconsin, Iowa, but Wisconsin, Marquette, I can't stand Marquette. And that also goes back to the Butler days, too. When I was a Butler, same conference in the Big East, can't stand Marquette.
Coach White, look, UCLA, I hope UCLA wins tonight against Utah State, but in general, Mick Cronin, not a big fan of his. If UCLA gets bounced after the first game, but I do think UCLA wins comfortably tonight.
You won't be frustrated if UCLA loses?
No, tonight I need UCLA to win, but Cody said it, 7.5 minutes to go. We're going to get a break in here, but 7.5 minutes to go. Purdue 59, High Point 56. This is definitely our first game.
I cross out Louisville in the bracket, boys, over the
and High Point just got the board.
Yeah, first game of the day that we're going to have some drama, maybe. Certainly the closest with the considering the amount of time, as Louisville Creighton's been over for quite some time, and that'll become official momentarily. Up next, we'll get a quick what's trending in. We'll get another scoreboard updated, and let's talk about the Final Four some more and the path we see for some of these teams next on Cody and Gold.
What's trending?
What's trending on Cody and Gold's presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
At T-Mobile, we'll give you four free 5G phones and four lines for only $25 per line per month with eligible trade-ins. And no, it's not a contest. It's every day for a limited time. Everyone's a winner on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay. Up to $830 off each phone via 24 monthly bill credits plus taxes, fees, and $10 device connection charge. For well qualified customers, contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Kickstart your new year with a rewarding career at the HK Group. HK is the leader in heavy construction and contractor site materials with over 80 locations across Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware. HK offers a wide range of opportunities, including heavy equipment operators, CDL drivers, mechanics, site supervisors, engineers, and project managers. 100% paid benefits designed to promote healthy living, financial stability, and career growth. The HK Group does not discriminate. Apply today at hkgroup.com. It's your future opportunity.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
It's true that any other university in Kansas, apply today at bakeru.edu. Of course, the NCAA tournament underway. One game is already in the books. 9-seed Creighton with an 89-75 win against 8-seed Louisville. Creighton will likely take on Auburn unless Auburn gets upset later on today by Alabama State. Other games still going on, about 4 minutes to go in the second half. 4-seed Purdue up 66-58 on 13-seed High Point. It's halftime in the East region, where 3-seed Wisconsin leads 14-seed Montana 40-32. Out in Wichita, Kansas, it's the number 1-seed Houston Cougars looking just like you would expect them to look against a 16-seed. 40-18 lead, 4:29 to go in the first half. The next game slated to start is about 15 minutes away. That is the Auburn-Alabama State game that I referenced. And, of course, tonight, Kansas taking on Arkansas, Drake taking on Mizzou.
Yeah, we'll get both the locals tonight. K-State women's, I believe, play later today as well. So you get a chance to catch all three locals a little bit later on. Next up on What's Trending, NC State has reportedly agreed to a deal with McNeese coach Will Wade to become their next head coach. Texas reportedly will also part ways with Rodney Terry. Will Wade's interesting because that'd be a pretty good get for NC State. There were some people who thought he might hold out for a bigger job, as in bigger than NC State. But look, if they're offering you a lot of money, they got the job for you now. Wolfpack have certainly been a tournament team multiple times over the last decade. You can win there if you're Will Wade. And if you do a really good job at NC State, guess what? Doesn't stop you from getting that better job I'm talking about a couple years from now. Or a year from now, maybe in Ben McCollum's case. Who the hell knows? He went from D2 to Drake, and he's being rumored around multiple D1 jobs this year. So,
elsewhere, bigger D1 jobs. Elsewhere in what's trending, some news in the sports world. The Boston Celtics have been sold for $6.1
billion. Goodness.
Yeah, to a group led by private equity executive Bill Chisholm. $6.1 billion. Pretty wild. I think we were looking this up. The team was last sold in 2003 for like $300 or $400 million. Also, just latest evaluations, the $6.1 billion sale price is the highest for a team in U.S. sports history. It passes what the Commanders were sold for in 2023, which was $6.05 billion. And in fact, the Celtics' total valuation could reach $7.3 billion by 2028. So the folks that just bought this team for $6.1 billion, there's a chance that in 3 years they could already have gained $1.2 billion in valuation from what they purchased for today.
Seems pretty good.
Yeah, I would say so.
Don't want to say for sure, but seems decent. They bought it for $330 million in 2003. And they sold it for
$6 billion.
My goodness. That's what's trending here on Cody and Gold.
That's wild, huh?
Yeah, that's absolutely nuts. We're getting ready to start the second half of this, or I guess it just got underway, the second half of this Wisconsin game. How you guys feeling about the bet? We going to hit it? For a reminder, are 0-2 of live betting in the middle of the show. We took Louisville. -1.5 in the first half. It was actually somehow better in the first half than it was in the second.
Yes.
And we lost that bet. Then we took race to 10 in the Montana game. We took Montana on that one. Lost that one. And that same Montana-Wisconsin game, we need three three-pointers from Tanjay. And the former Missouri Tiger, current Wisconsin Badger. I suggested it. Believe it or not, Drew, who is a Wisconsin fan, his grandparents all grew up in Madison. He spent a lot of time going to Wisconsin sporting events. It wasn't his suggestion. I did ask for some background information about the likelihood. I did a little research live on the show.
Correct.
Felt like he took, sometimes in some games, he takes 10 or 11 threes 5 or 6 times this year.
Yeah, I'm not going to sit here and pretend I even know who the kid is.
No, I literally looked up stat lines.
I guess he played at MU last year. I had no clue.
Played at Missouri, I think, a couple of years, if I remember
correctly. No clue on him. Listeners were throwing out bets for us to take. We'll see if we can.
He is the AJ Store replacement.
Oh, is that right?
That has worked out very well for Wisconsin.
Yeah, that was a fair trade for them. I don't think they're regretting it. I could be wrong, but I somehow doubt it, seeing how they're doing well.
Although both teams are in the tournament.
And yeah, well, maybe. But also, they weren't a tournament team last year. Were they?
Who?
With Wisconsin?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, they were. I was like, maybe he doesn't, you know, who knows which side he's on. He only played in Missouri for 1 year. Colorado State for 4.
That's right. He's a third-year senior, Gold.
The good news for you, Drew, you were not alone on the Louisville for the first round game, at least, in our brackets. The question is later on the Elite Eight pick. Thinking of that, what's your guys' Final Four look like in the path to get there? We had our Coding Gold Bracket Challenge. You guys submitted it in. We appreciate that. We'll keep an eye on that over the next month, really, or next 3-plus weeks. Final Four, It's a little chalky.
Mine too.
My elite eight had an 11 seed in it, but when it came to the Final Four, I ended up with Auburn and Texas Tech on one end of the bracket, and Duke and Houston on the other, with Duke and Texas Tech in the Natty, and Duke winning it. I'm very, very high, obviously.
That means we only have one similar team in our Final Four, so one of us is going to do a lot better than the other.
That is fun
because we both have Duke. I have Duke in the championship game, but losing. Not winning. I have Florida winning the national championship game on that end, but I also have Auburn and Kentucky. And so I was trying to do the same thing as you, but I think you and I kind of agree in the sense that now in the new NIL era, I want to see how the next 3, 4, 5 years of tournaments play out. And if we see these 11 seeds make these runs, or these 10 seeds or 9 seeds make these runs to the Final Fours, when some of, or if that happens, do I need to choose like Power Four programs to do that, right? because the smaller schools, leading scorers every year, let's just take South Dakota State and Zeke Mayo as an example, are going to end up on a better program. They're not going to be the junior at South Dakota State taking a team that now has everything put together with them into the tournament. And so when I made my decision this year, I went kind of chalk heavy too. I was looking for some upsets, and certainly we've all talked about, we got some double digit seeds going at least to the Sweet 16, yeah. In some cases Elite Eight. But yeah, I ended up with 3-1 seeds and a 3 seed. So I can't say it was way different.
What about your Final Four, Drew?
So I have Michigan State in the upper left region, lower right or lower left. I've got Florida. Lower right, I have Tennessee, and then upper right, debated between Duke and Wisconsin, end up with Wisconsin in the Final Four.
You took the Badgers to the Final Four. You went with your heart. You went with your heart on that one. Nothing wrong with that. Well, I could be wrong, but still, nothing wrong with the decision.
Of course.
Nothing wrong with the decision on that. We were talking about the Elite Eight in Sweet 16, the stat that for 16 straight years, a double-digit seed has made it to at least the Sweet 16.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you guys that filled out your brackets listening as well have a double-digit seed maybe making it to the Sweet 16. I told you, for me, there's two teams in mind that are going there that fit that trend, and we'll see if we get one of them. North Carolina and New Mexico. I like North Carolina's path now is what it is. I think they're going to beat Ole Miss.
Opened up pretty nice,
and then Iowa State's best player is not available. That would be, if a win against Ole Miss and Iowa State without their best player would get North Carolina to the Sweet 16. And then New Mexico, this is more of a dark horse candidate, but New Mexico to beat Marquette in their first game. I don't think they play till tomorrow, but New Mexico in Marquette, and then that would require New Mexico beating and shocking a lot of people and beating Michigan State.
I went with UC San Diego, which I guess turns out is kind of a hot pick, but...
Yeah, if it's right, it's right.
I'm kind of torn. I feel like there's a decent chance the SEC is going to disappoint in the tournament. And what we saw was the reason why they got 14 teams in is... You couldn't tell the good from the bad because they were all mediocre gold. Not that they had percentage-wise, way more better teams in the Big 12, but like they were mediocre. And you couldn't tell the good from the bad. They all beat up on each other and everybody beat everybody. So it seemed like everyone was good. And the truth was everyone was kind of mediocre, but because we all eventually decided, because two of the best teams in the country are in the SEC, right, that everyone else below them who did worse than them must also be good. I just don't think Michigan's very good. Like, I don't think this is a very good Michigan team. So I chose UC San Diego to get it.
Yeah.
And I think Yale's got a decent chance. But even if not, I think A&M can win. So that ended up being my double-digit seed. We'll find out if I'm right. They don't play until tonight at like 9 o'clock.
Yeah, it's a late game.
I might have to wake up in the morning and find out. We'll see.
It's definitely one that a lot of people are keeping an eye on for the potential upset. The question is, will the, I guess, Michigan size become a problem for UC San Diego out of the Big West? This was their first year being eligible, so it's also a cool story. I think that also helps with why people are going to root for them.
And then like Drake, they're 30-4. Yeah. They beat all the bad teams like they're supposed to do, right?
Sure.
They haven't really played anybody, so I can't point to some deep part of their schedule and say, oh, here we go. Now they're all going to get it done. Yeah. No, I can't know that. That just kind of makes it really, really tough.
Final four from our listener, buddy Lance. He says Duke, Auburn, Houston, and St. John's. That's where he went with in our bracket challenge. So we'll find out. This will be fun to keep an eye on over the next couple weeks with our bracket challenge. One game that's tightened up a little bit here in the last couple minutes, the Wisconsin Badgers lead down to 6. It's a 51-45 lead on 14 seed Montana. A lot of time left, 15 and a half minutes in the second half, but this one's tightened up a little bit from where it was at, 6 points. Elsewhere, Houston, 2 minutes to go in the first half, still up 46-22 on 16 seed SIU Edwardsville.
Houston's offense is the best offense that Kelvin Sampson might have ever had.
And we know about their defense. And then 4 seed Purdue, it looked like it was going to get interesting. They have separated themselves from High Point. They're going to win this game. About 90 seconds to go. Purdue up 67-58 on the 13 seed. So no 13 seed upset there. That was an opponent some people were keeping an eye on. But High Point's going to come up short.
I'm in a little bit of a sweat. I've got High Point plus 9.5 right now.
Ooh. Oh,
we're sitting right there.
You're in kind down of a sweat. Nine. You're in a true sweat.
Down 9, Purdue's at the line, too, with a buck 24 to go.
I mean, in fairness, we had 2 3-pointers made in the first, 8 minutes of the Wisconsin game. And now we haven't had a single three-point attempt since then.
Whoops.
I'm a little bit cold.
Tajay, so
you
actually want
the game to stay tight.
Yeah, we do. We don't have to hit a three late. Honestly, tie it up if he's not going to hit a three sometime the next 10 minutes, you know?
Drew was already clapping. That must have been there's an offensive foul.
Carter Gilmore, baby.
Drew's a little bit ahead of us. We can hear him clapping.
I know. I should apologize. I thought about that earlier. I need to calm down because
you're fine.
Because I react.
He's on cable box. We're on YouTube TV.
I react, and it's like five seconds ahead of you guys.
We brought in an extra TV so Cody and I can literally just watch on the quad box throughout the day, because otherwise the other TV options we have in here are not great. So
High Point missed a jumper. We're looking ugly now.
Someone else says their Final Four is from a listener, 660. Final Four, 3-1 seeds, and then Mizzou.
Wow.
Take it you're a Mizzou grad, which is fine. I'm guessing.
Man,
I would be hard pressed to find someone doesn't have a Mizzou connection that is putting them in the Final Four. And that's
maybe
fine.
If they're just big SEC believers.
Same thing with KU. If you have KU in your Final Four, you have to be a KU fan. There's no other explanation. I mean, if we're being real.
I mean,
yes. I don't even have them getting to the Elite Eight or Final Four. I mean, so. I would be surprised if
you got them getting to Sweet 16, though.
I do have them with an upset.
What was the end game decision on it? Just that St. Yeah. John's doesn't shoot a three, and that's Kansas' single biggest weakness at the 3-point line.
One, it's that they're not the first two opponents they'll face are not deadly 3-point shooting teams. It definitely helps. And then kind of what we were talking with Tim Murray, trend/public perception. I like to fade, and of course, because they have not been good all year, the perception is like they suck and they can't win a game. And we've seen plenty of times in tournament where a team just gets hot. And by hot, I just need two wins. They will be underdogs to St. John's, of course. But yeah, that's why. And it's a bracket, right? So in a bracket pool, it's different than putting a betting on a team to win. In a bracket, you got 300-400 people in your bracket pool. Well, you got to pick some results that not everybody else are going to have. And I don't expect a ton of people in our bracket challenge to have
No, because they've been watching Kansas all year, like you said.
The guy that said he has Mizzou in the Final Four, this still explains. He says he's a Nebraska grad, Husker football, Mizzou basketball. So same thing. You're still so Husker grad, Mizzou basketball fan. Okay, there you go. Well, the Huskers, oh boy, did they crap the bed to make the tournament. Man, oh man.
Yeah, they didn't even
make the Big Ten tournament.
They were in the driver's seat.
You know how bad you have to be to not make your conference tournament?
I didn't even know that was a thing until I heard that was Nebraska.
Too many teams in the Big Ten.
They said Nebraska didn't make the Big Ten tournament. Like, wait, you could miss your conference tournament?
Too many teams. Whoa. They were on the bubble. They were on the bubble, and then I think they lost, was it five? You guys can tell me on the text line. I think Nebraska lost five in a row or something after that.
I'll be honest. I think the fact that you can miss out on your conference tournament, I think that's complete BS.
You think you should? I mean,
can't have a 20-team conference tournament.
I agree, but realignment has messed it up enough where I think you should be able to figure out a way
to win them all anyway.
To get exactly, but I think you should figure out a way to get it done where, if some like conceivably, March Madness is that time where chaos can happen and everybody's got a shot.
They don't. They have a zero. In every major conference tournament, the last seed in any major conference tournament is zero for the century. Not theoretically. They've never won it. There's no 10 seed that's gone on to win their conference tournament in a big power conference.
I know, but that's
we've seen some small schools where it's happened.
So I think that's enough for, if you're in Nebraska, I would not be happy. Excuse me.
Well, you should try to win more than like 11 games, or I don't know how many they won.
I agree with that.
Not to play the... I told you so, but I thought when you said it, I just had to Google it. NC State did win the AC tournament as a 10 seed last year.
Dang!
They made it to the Final Four, are you kidding me?
Was that the last seed in the ACC?
I don't know. Not the last, but they were still.
I said last seed.
Okay, all right.
Dead last seed. All right. I don't know if Nebraska would have been the last seed.
No, they were the 10. They weren't the last. That's fair. They weren't the last. Goodness. They were close. They weren't the last. That's fair.
Those are 20 teams deep. They were six teams worse than that in their conference.
Their coach has since been fired, too. He was the Final Four last year and then got fired.
Yeah, which is kind of
it is
crazy.
A weird 12 months, isn't it?
Yeah, a little bit. Kind of a wild.
Well, and the guy that Albin, who was hired by Iona after Fairleigh Dickinson beat Purdue as the 16 seed,
he just got fired.
He just got fired as well.
Tobin or whatever his name is.
Yeah, Tobin. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Happens quick. Tobin. I mean, it was like a week ago. What was the college? Now I'm not going to remember.
Who
was it? New Mexico State? A college not that long ago was talking about, like, they're going to have a hard time paying out the buyout on them. Like, why'd you fire the guy?
UNLV.
Yeah, UNLV.
For their football coach.
I was like, no offense. If this is the problem we have with college sports in general, which is...
Barry Odom?
I think.
Because Odom left, right?
Yeah.
So it's the new head coach.
You paid all this money to try to get this coach in. You gave him no time to be successful. You immediately can his ass, and now you're like, I don't know if we can even pay this guy.
Didn't fire Barry Odom. He left.
Not Odom. The
story, with Mullins is that they're basically, in a weird way, they almost hope a team tries to buy him out in 2 years, and then UNLV gets the money from it. I mean, that's kind of where they're at. It's weird.
Yeah, they can't even afford to pay him. It's so wild. And look, Deion Sanders, Colorado straight up admitted it. Remember when they hired him? But they've had no trouble paying him because no trouble, right? All the accolades around there. No, you're right. It was Odom, and then now they're saying they can't even pay their own coach. It's crazy.
It's a text line. Leave us out of this, okay? Nebraska fan. They said we're a volleyball school now, right?
They are great. The scene for volleyball is really cool.
Yeah. Let's see. 34 seconds to go. Purdue up 74-63 in the 4:13. That's over. Wisconsin's back up 9 with 13 minutes to go in the second half. We are, about to see the start of the 16-seed, 1-seed Auburn game. So Alabama State-Auburn, that one's going to tip off at 159 because the game got late. So it was 150, now 159.
I'm going to need a high point three-pointer in order for them to get to...
Oh, yeah, Drew needs them to
cover. We need Tanjay to get our 3-2.
Plus 9.5 is
so,
what they are.
So Drew needs high point.
And then they dribble out, dude. That's the best-case scenario for you.
Exactly.
Drew needs, he's down 12. That's not going to get it done.
And he missed the bunny.
Drew, you're
now they're going to dribble out. Just let him dribble out.
They're not
going to
foul. I don't think they're going to foul.
He did miss it.
Drew, that's not going to be a cover.
That's tough.
That's tough, Drew.
Purdue's going to win. Need that for the bracket, though, you know? Need that for the bracket. Hope everybody enjoys the rest of the today.
I'm 0-2 to start today. Goodness.
Tournament's awesome already.
We're 0-2 on the show. I know we Tanjay can still cash one for us.
Tonight's where it all heats up, you know? Upsets. Hopefully not for the locals, though.
Both the locals.
Tomorrow, we'll be talking plenty about how KU and MU fared. We'll be talking about the Friday slate. We'll have maybe a guest or two during Fan Club Friday. Looking forward to it. You guys enjoy the rest of the day. The Drive with C-Dot and Rob coming up next.